Welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour. Today we have a wonderful guest. Her name is Maddie Murphy. And when you see the cover of her new book, it's called In the Cosmic Zone. It looks like cotton candy. It looks so light and so cutesy and so beautiful. And she is an astrologer. And you kind of think, oh, this is going to be light. But I'm here to tell you this conversation is not light. That beauty, that sweetness is only there to get you to take the book off the shelf and read it so that you can become self-empowered and come into the fullness of who you are so that you can go out and kick some ass. Oops, I should say there's a tiny bit of swearing in this podcast if kids are listening. Each of us is cultivating our power. We are looking at our values. We are setting boundaries. We are determining how we're going to show up authentically in the world and do the things that need to be done for ourselves, our family, our loved ones, our colleagues, our society, our humanity. This is not a time to be sitting back and resting and figuring that someone else will do the work. This is the time for each of us to get dead serious with ourselves. Why are you here? What are your gifts? How are you going to bring those gifts to the world in an authentic way? How are you going to get over your obstacles or your challenges that are holding you back so that you can make a difference in this world? We need you now more than ever. And I think a lot of us are kind of feeling frozen. It's just a really hard time right now. And we're probably like, well, what can little old me do? The problems are bigger than me. They're systemic, they're structural. There's nothing that I personally can do. I'm here to say no. Yes, there are many things that you personally can do. You can have a quiet revolution where you are planting the seeds of being a revolutionary person in your life, of saying no, of setting boundaries, of quietly leaving things behind that no longer serve you, of putting your energy where it matters so you can be of service. There are so many ways. If you're not a very loud person, if you don't want to draw attention to yourself for whatever reason, if you can't get out there and scream from the mountaintops, it's okay because we need all types of people working on multiple levels of humanity to bring the new way forward, the way of empathy, the way of kindness, the way of care, the way of taking care of one another and seeing each other's humanity. If every single one of us goes at that in our own quiet revolution, we will change the world. And I'm not just saying this like to rah-rah you up. I'm not trying to be your cheerleader. I really hope you take that seed in your heart and you think to yourself during quiet moments of journaling and meditation, what can I do? Ask your God, pull some tarot cards, go to an astrologer. I don't know how you have to figure it out, but you need to go figure out what is your offering to humanity. All of us have that. And it's not a competition. It's not like some people's offering to humanity is better than other people's. We all are equal and we all have a job to do. So please go inward and figure out what your authentic gift to humanity is going to be in the next 8 years because we need you now more than ever. And even when things look very, very challenging and difficult on the outside, and they are, let's admit what is really out there and how hard it is. All the more reason to go inside and find who you are and how you can be of service. So let's go meet Maddie, and she is going to help you start finding your way forward. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour. This is Amy Wheeler, and I want to thank all the people who've come forward in 2025 to tell their stories. We are completely booked through the end of the year, so we will not be taking any more stories. In fact, many weeks I'm recording two every Thursday because so many people were willing to share of themselves, to be generous and gracious, to help other people to suffer less. It's been quite a year. We're so happy that we have another
several months of stories to share on the Yoga Therapy Hour. But just to say that at this time, we're no longer needing people to volunteer. The response has been amazing. I feel overjoyed with so many of you willing to give of yourself to help others suffer less. We thank you. We're glad you're here. Let's go see our guest for today. Welcome, Maddie. It's so nice to have you here on the Yoga Therapy Hour.
Thank you, Amy. This is such an honor.
Where are you joining us from, Maddie? Where in the world are you joining us from?
Generally, I'm a New York girl. For now, at the time of this recording, I'm in Montauk, which is where my family's from, eastern end of Long Island, but full-time residence in good old Manhattan.
Oh my goodness. I'm in rural Minnesota, so nothing could be more different. Oh goodness. So Maddie, today we're going to be talking about astrology and specifically your new book, In the Cosmic Zone. And one of the first things that I kind of got from your press release and looking into your book is it's a little bit about stepping beyond your comfort zone into like empowered action. So what does that mean? Why do we have to go through this uncomfortable place to get to an empowered place?
Every time I'm being asked to do something, I'm like, must I grow? Must I evolve and expand? But no, truly, you know, I think one of my just core beliefs in life is like why we're here, many different reasons. But I do think our soul has an inherent desire to want to grow, right? And experience new things so that our heart can open more and we can live in that like sense of fully realized potential and being really in tune with our life force within us, right? And that does not come, unfortunately, from nothing ever changing, you know, sitting on the couch, creating a protected, nice little world for ourselves, even if we think we want that. But, you know, sometimes leaving the comfort zone for the cosmic zone is something we choose intentionally, or sometimes, as people might resonate with, it's something that's be thrust upon us from a cosmic curveball or two.
You're like standing there enjoying the view and all of a sudden you're mid-flight off the cliff.
Yeah, wait, what now? What am I doing?
Oh gosh, you know, I was just on my walk this morning. I walk out in nature every morning and I was like, life is so darn hard. But then I thought, even if I had like all my basic needs met and everything was smooth, I'm sure there'd still be hard things. They would just be different things. Like you said, our 100%. Soul is here to learn something.
Our soul wants to learn. And I think that's what's cool about, you know, in the process of writing this book, it kind of just flowed through me from years of working with people where I realized, you know, some people who come to work with me are in kind of like early parts of their spiritual journey or had their dark night of the soul. Everything's topsy-turvy. How am I rebuilding my life? What's happening? And some people I work with are the people on paper that you're like, oh my gosh, you're such an accomplished author, artist, entrepreneur, you know, insert the blank here, and a magnificent parent with a great family. But because they're living in their heart's truth, they're getting that nudge, right? To grow, to expand, or again, a challenge has been thrust upon them and they want to meet it in their fullest self, really feeling in their power. So it's so true. I think, especially if you're really in tune with yourself, you are going to always be like, oh, right. Okay. Another moment, another invitation, another nudge, right?
It really does make the quiet moments where things are not topsy-turvy so much more sweet, because I don't know, I think I just learned to appreciate them more. Like, okay, I got a breathing moment a few weeks here where I haven't had anything crazy coming up. And I just find that it kind of makes life more precious moment
by moment. Absolutely. I love that. And I think that's a really good point. And the major premise of the book of leaving your comfort zone to leap into your cosmic zone are sometimes these really active, you know, decisions. But then I sort of realized that being in the cosmic zone is also, to me, is that state of life where you can be really present and really at peace and really in the place of like feeling centered, whether that is sometimes expanding and growing or sometimes being like, you know what? this is pretty good as it is right now. And I don't have to look for something in me to fix or solve or a problem. I can just kind of be. And I think that's also really quite important and beautiful in our journey.
And we need those respites. I remember a 3-year period where the hits kept coming and I was like, all right, enough already. Can I just rest for a moment? It's too much.
It's too much, right? But then you see how that brought you, I'm sure, through many initiations. And then, like you said, you can really enjoy the sweetness of life when it is more, like, dare I say, boring, but in a good way. We're like, oh my God, this is so peaceful and nourishing and yummy. And let me, like, yeah, really tend to myself. So if there is another, you know, big leap moment, I'm very well resourced.
Absolutely. So you just mentioned people coming to work with you. Tell us exactly, I mean, is it all astrology? Is it astrology plus intuitive healing or intuitive guidance? What exactly do you do with people?
Oh, I know, such a good question. I kind of just call myself the cosmic consultant because I'm very mutable in my birth chart, which we'll get into, which just means that I sort of like to do a vast variety, array of things. And in my work, I do shamanic medicine. I do actual like business coaching because I've had my own businesses for over a decade now, which is crazy. I do intuitive work, you know, tarot, oracle cards. I do pendulum work, but I really use astrology as the framework for everything because I'm a Virgo. So we do like an organizational system. I like something to ground myself a little bit, and working with someone's chart as their user manual helps me sort of fill in the blanks of, okay, this is where the best practices would be, or self-care tips or energy work or things to, you know, focus on. Then we also work with their cosmic calendar. So, okay, Amy, you're entering a life right now, this period of life where you're really being asked to anchor into making your home really sacred, let's say, right? So we can talk about everything from altar building to decluttering to, you know, finding things in your home that spark joy and intentionally, you know, using energy and magic and feng shui to decorate it. So I like to say I do a lot of things, but astrology is what I always come back to help me like make sense of it all and give people what I hope is a toolkit that really helps them live in alignment with their divine assignment.
Okay, fellow Virgo.
You're a cool August Virgo. August Virgos are cooler than September Virgos.
September Virgos. Are you a September?
I'm a September Virgo. You still have that cool like Leo dust in the air. It's still like, you know, at least here, you know, where I live in the Northeast, it's like still summer. There's still fireflies out. I'm fully September Virgo, like back to school mode. Like, come on, everyone. Like, let's
chop, chop.
Chop, chop. Come
on. Together.
We got things to do.
Oh, I never thought of it that way. I'm just on the cusp of Leo. And when my hair is down, I look like this big lion.
Lion. I love that.
But yeah, I've always heard that the Virgo Leo or the Virgos in August are different than the Virgos in September. That's so interesting. Oh, now you're making me want to do a session with you, but we can't go there. All right. So you kind of have used astrology as your base, but then when you have a session, do you use your intuition to say, oh, we're going to run over here to tarot cards, or we'll come over here and do some, you know, feng shui, or like how, or is it dependent on the person that's working with you and what they're looking for?
It's kind of two way, like a very beautiful, virtuous infinity loop between my intuition and my study of astrology, because, you know, not every astrologer is an intuitive. Some of them are actually, like my teacher is quite analytical and quite mathematical and scientific in his approach for reading. But early on, I realized that someone who was born very intuitive, I always had sort of that claircognizance, clairsentience, like a deep knowing about things, but didn't always know how to articulate them or B, you know, how to trust them. And I think definitely certain things help, certain practices, meditation, yoga, pulling cards, things helping me to anchor into myself and trust myself. I also kind of get a hit about someone and then I'll look in their chart And I'm like, oh, okay, that's what I'm picking up on. And it's helping me sort of have like the receipt behind it a little bit of like, oh, okay, that's what I'm picking up on. And then my intuition can kind of flow from there. I like to say that astrology is like Google, like a GPS turn by turn direction for me, where I see things very black and white. Okay, you know, Saturn in Pisces, you have this, you have Mercury going here in your chart. I see that. And then my intuition is like the Google Street Map view, where I can start to see some hits of like more image-based things or things that might fill in the blanks where you wouldn't necessarily pick up on that in the chart. Maybe some past life energy or some energy that feels like stuck or hard to me, or downloads of whatever kind of things, and visions and songs and how my intuition speaks to me. So with all of this, then the intuitive loop is then I kind of process this all, you know, the intuitive hits with the astrology. And then I'm really big into anchoring all into something that's like a pragmatic, practical takeaway, tip, tool for someone to take the reading and help them digest it. Virgo is very connected to the stomach and digestion. And part of what Virgos like to do is take all of matter, and especially metaphysical world or healing world or helpful things, and really bring them to earth and give people little doses. So I take all of that and I do a whole reading, channel it, or, you know, or my ongoing sessions with my mentees. And then I usually leave people with a little bit of homework, a home play of like, okay, I want you to take this kind of ritual bath. I want you to do this, you know, for the next moon cycle, sit out, you know, put your bum in the ground, sit in the earth and do this practice. Or you have something, again, very practical of like, I want you to go do that first post on Substack as we're talking about. And so it's sort of like intuitive flow. The astrology helps me back it up and then creates more space for that intuitive flow. And then I like to bring it all down into some actionable steps, 'cause I think that's very grounding and empowering for people, or at least for me.
You know, I'm convinced that we're all capable of great things, but we just need someone to hold our hand, tell us that we can do it, give us the next best step, encourage us and say, hey, you can get over that self-doubt. You just need to move forward and write the Substack article. Mm-hmm. Many of us, at least in the yoga world, we are our own worst enemy, holding ourselves back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I was doing some of this work way more on the side. I had a cold pressed juice business and I had a coffee shop where we did very cool, like plant-based lattes and drinks. And I was, you know, sort of gotten into the astrology and tarot, and I was just doing it for a fun thing with my friends, my family. But one of the things that really started to like galvanize me and really make me feel like, okay, you know, I wanted to do more of this, is that I realized, you know, how we're going to change the world is through who's showing up, who's running businesses, who's creating art, who's telling the stories. And the people who I saw, like people, you know, the yoga community, who had the most beautiful, heart-centered, compassionate, gorgeous things to share with the world that we need, are the very people who feel like, ooh, like, who am I? Or feels too vulnerable, or feels too shy. Or again, they're not who society puts forward as the, you know, captains of industry or the blah, blah, blah people who are, you know, supposed to be doing it. So I was like, so exactly what you said about the encouraging. I was like, okay, I really want to encourage and empower like the sensitive ones, the mystics, the heart-centered ones, all the people to come forward and just bring whatever it is that they feel called to kind of weave into this tapestry of this like next iteration of our society that I heard was coming about 10 years ago. And now I am here. I'm like, okay, I see what they meant by that.
Tell us, what did they mean? I think there's so many here like, oh my gosh, AI has arrived. So many things are changing so drastically, so fast. What ride are we in for, Maddie? What should we do to prepare? What do we need to know?
Okay, well, buckle up, my buttercups. We are in, and obviously, as you could tell, you don't need astrology to tell you this, but to confirm it, we're in a really unprecedented time that no one on earth has lived through this exact cycle. And I'll tell you what I was hearing about, yeah, like 10, 12 years ago, a few astrology workshops and stuff that I was going to as I was being a little more curious about this. They were talking about this great ending of our society that was going to, you know, 2020, this great, they were calling it the Capricorn convergence, and it was going to usher in this Pluto and Aquarius age, and especially for the United States, it was going to be a very significant kind of full circle moment to when the country was born, and in a Pluto cycle. And so Pluto cycles are around 240 years, which is happens to be how long usually empires last in history. And so Pluto is the planet of deep change, transformation.
I'd like to take just a moment away from the episode to tell you about something that's really precious to us here at The Optimal State, and that's our Monday Night Sangha. There are so many of us that have come together for several years now on Monday nights. It's about an hour and a half class where we really set ourselves up for the week. We start with talking about one of the Yoga Sutra of Patanjali's as it pertains to our topic of the month. So in November, that is kind of reflecting on 2025 and thinking about how to go inward for November and December and really settle ourselves before we move into the new year. So we'll choose Yoga Sutra that are all about reflecting, all about going inward. And then possibly towards the end of the month, talk about setting intentions with powerful manifestation and how do we have a great 2026. So that's our topic for November. We do a little discussion, we do some postures, some breath work, a little bit of yoga nidra meditation, and then we come back at the end for another discussion. These are really potent sessions to start your week off right. We invite all of you. You can be there live or watch the recording, but we would love to have you with us on Monday nights, especially as we move into 2026. All right, everybody, let's get back to the podcast, and thank you for listening.
You're scaring me, Maddie. What? Oh my gosh. Okay.
No. It's all good. Obviously, I'm here. I'm happy. I'm smiling. I'm not like in a bunker somewhere. But this is like everything that our society was starting to be built on, you know, 200, 240 years ago. Some wonderful things, but there's obviously a lot of toxic things. We could list, you know, go on and on. But with Pluto and Aquarius, which is what happened in 2024, this begins a 20-year cycle. It's very revolutionary. It's the astrology of progress, a revolution of innovation. Pluto comes to transform, to like unearth things and have us go through a rebirth. And Aquarius is definitely connected to technology and innovation. We saw Pluto and Aquarius during the scientific revolution, and Pluto wants to sort of have us evolve at a very fast rate. But Aquarius is also the sign of the people. Like, power to the people is truly the Aquarius tagline. So in some ways, things that we're experiencing are sort of like the shamanic death rattle of the old systems, the old guard, because in the next 20 years, but I'll say even, you know, in the next 8 years, we're going to see tremendous progress unlike we've ever seen in our society in terms of different types of leadership, different voices being centered, different people running businesses, running, you know, different types of policy, like unlike we've ever seen before. And really things where no matter where anyone stands in any aisle of anything political, I think that we can admit that it's become a few people holding a lot of power over the many. And Pluto in Aquarius is about like the shifting of that. But I always say, as an astrologer, I have the plot points in the movie, but I don't know how the scenes are going to play out. So sometimes I'm like, oh. But what I do know is we're moving forward. But of course, progress, just like leaving the comfort zone for the cosmic zone, isn't always, you know, pleasant and easy.
Okay, I'm soothing myself now.
Okay, good. The nervous system. Okay. Yeah.
But I keep saying this, and I just said this to my friend. She's dropping her son off to Washington, D.C. to go to college. He's worried about the troops in the city right now. And I said, you know what? We are quietly building strength. We just have to stay focused and know our values and love people and be together and build our inner strength. It may not appear
absolutely
in this moment, but it doesn't mean that this is the end of the story.
It's really not. We're actually right at the early parts of the next story, but we're just so in it right now. And it's hard. And also the system and media and all this, it's sort of designed to make us feel hopeless. So we have to remember that there's very real hard things happen in the world. I don't want to take away from that. But like you said, this is the beginning of something new, and it needs all of us really fortified in our values and staying really like fiercely like in our truth on that, that if we like something that we don't agree with, like we have full permission to speak up, stand out, like, and be like, this is not okay with me. But also while tending to ourself, our resilience, our joy, our inner strength, and like remembering community and connection is a big Pluto and Aquarius medicine of like, oh, right, the humanness, like, let's get off of the phone and remember what it's like, you know, to make eye contact with someone, sit with someone, or who are my neighbors, right? Or how do we kind of join with like-minded people? And because I think all of this is going to be happening in an unexpected way. It's going to be way more grassroots, I think, than we think. So all of those things. And that's why one of, you know, this book is a very pretty pastel cover and it's like candy and it's like very fun to read, I hope. But my underlying message is I wanted to let everyone know, like, we're going through a really big change, but like you were born right now on earth at this time for a reason, like on purpose and with purpose. And we need you in that fullness, right? No fake, no hiding, no, like fully in your light.
And I'm calling it a quiet revolution. Mm. Not every single person is going to be out there telling about what they're doing right now. But there are so many of us that are planting the seeds of values that we believe in, relationships we want to nourish, projects we want to get out there. We're quietly doing a revolution right now. And it's just like a seed in the ground. You don't see it. It doesn't mean it's happening.
Oh, I love that. This seed, exactly. And what's so cool, you feel this way maybe in your work too, is I get to connect with so many people all across this country and all across the world. And everyone I talk to is feeling that or doing that in their corner of the world. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool. Right. Like it's not the loud headlines, but like you said, it's the seeds, right? And they're all over. That's beautiful.
I do admit I am a little frustrated. There's not more loudness. But at the same time, if you draw too much attention to yourself, there's consequences to that. So it's okay to do a quiet revolution for a while and build your strength and get your little seed popping up a little bit before you draw too much attention to yourself.
Right. Like if you need to gain that and exactly. And some of us are going to feel called to be louder sooner than others. And that's great. And like my thing is like, I, just like you, I'm frustrated. I'm just straight up like pissed off a lot of the time, but I talk about with my clients, like channeling that sacred rage into something, into action, right? Instead of just letting it burn you up and out. And again, like that is, I think it took me a while to get here because I was raised in a household. I just felt very like, nope, good girl energy. Like, don't say that. Don't speak about that. Or you don't know enough about politics to speak out on that. And now I'm like, I think I know enough of my values to know, okay, like I don't have to be.
Empathy means.
Yeah. I think I know. Okay. I'm radicalized by just basic human empathy. Okay.
So. Did you just say sacred rage? Did I hear that? Or did you say that?
Yes.
Tell me about sacred rage. I need to hear a little bit about sacred rage.
Well, right now, you know, I'm a mom of two very small children, two under two, Irish twins. You know, I have a lot going on in life. My mom was sick last year, wrote this book. And so some days people are like, well, how do you summon the energy? And I was like, well, coffee, caffeine, and sacred rage gets me through the days where I just want to be like curl up on the couch and be like, I quit. I can't go on anymore. Sacred rage is our birthright, especially as women, to come into deeper relationship with anger. We all know as women, we're not allowed by traditional society, you know, when we're angry, we're the B word, we're hard to deal with. We're just so bitter, right? And so we have been taught to be more palatable by just tampering down all of these different emotions, and especially anger, like that one, anger and like hunger, for anything is just so like not okay by the patriarchal kind of constructs of society we live in. It's very okay to be angry, and it's okay to be spiritual. It's okay to be a warm, open person and still feel rage. In fact, you should, because that means you're paying attention. And it's just about like, you know, you don't want to rage. Anger becomes harder to deal with energy when it's like displaced, misplaced, or it takes control over you, right? That's when we lash out at someone or have a tantrum or, you know, God forbid, like cause harm to someone. That's rage. Sacred rage is like, I am seeing something that is so out of alignment with my values, that is so out of integrity, whether that's in my industry, whether that's in the world, whether that's in my community, that I have to do something with that. And again, have it galvanize me, mobilize me into some sort of inspired action and turning that into something and letting that fuel you. And I always say again, like some days I'm like, oh my God, I'm so tired. I'm so overwhelmed. Like, and then I'll just see something in the news and I'm like, okay, I can't quit. That's what they would want. I got to channel this into something, and I sit with it. And honestly, yoga and breath work are some of the great ways to go from the anger sort of taking you over to then getting to work with it so you can respond versus react, and then finding something to, you know, channel that into is sort of like the third and final step. But I just would love to give everyone listening permission to investigate their own sacred rage. I love it.
And along with that, you know, having been a Midwest good girl my whole life, I've never wanted to offend people. I haven't wanted to set boundaries. I haven't wanted to cut people off. I haven't wanted to take care of myself before the other or another. Because of that sacred rage right now, I am getting a lot more discerning about where I want to spend my energy, who I want to spend my energy with, how I want to spend my energy, and politely declining anything that doesn't go towards goodness, empathy, benevolence, caretaking, all the things that I want for us as a society. I don't have time anymore to play around with the things I used to try to be polite about.
Absolutely. And like, I do feel like people, especially women, being polite is how, you know, certain systems of oppression keep going. Because we're just like, oh, don't be, oh. But it's like, they're not being polite. Why do we have to be polite? Like, it's the best ever way of keeping us like small without having to even do anything. So I think, and you know, whether that's setting a boundary, you can still do things with compassion and grace if it's someone very close to you. But when it comes to like larger things that are just against your core values of how humans are treated, I have gotten so okay. It's been a practice. I did not start here. Please believe me. But I have gotten so okay. In fact, like loving making people uncomfortable. I have a hot tip for everyone. Again, if you are safe to do this, if you're unsafe, don't do this. But I'm like, sometimes I just have to push him back on someone. I'd be like, oh my God, it's going to offend them, or we're going to have a confrontation. And once I just did it, and my nervous system got to experience that I didn't die, I was like, oh, yeah, okay, I could keep doing this. Like, I think I literally had some sort of coding in my body that if I stood up for myself or just called someone out or said something where I saw something inappropriate happening, that I would be like, that I would shrivel up and die. But I was like, oh no, I'm discomfort. I'm uncomfortable. I'm blushing. I'm stammering. I'm sweating. But I'm okay. Okay, I could do that again.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like another might assume the sale with me, which forces me to put a boundary up and say, no, you can't have that sale, you know? And that's comfortable when someone comes and assumes that you believe like they do, or that you would agree with
them, yeah,
that you shouldn't be pissed off about something. That strength that it takes to push back and be like, no, I'm sorry, I don't even agree with your basic premise.
I love that. Ooh, Amy, that's so badass. I'm sorry. I love that for you. I'm like, I know it's so hard when you do that. Just your whole like auric field just lit up to me because it's so alive. It's so true. And I feel like that's exactly what we need. We need courage, like not complacency in these kind of times, right? Not just be like, nodding along. And sometimes I have to say, if you're not ready to go full on sacred rage warrior, just asking a clarifying question to someone. Oh, what do you mean by that?
Right.
This one makes a little, you know, a joke or something that feels a little racist, a little sexist. It's like, oh, what? What do you know? I don't understand what that means. Explain that. What do you mean by that? And sometimes even just for them, they're like, I don't know what I meant by that. Or they explain it and you're just like, you know, not for me. It's just things that are, I think, again, like it's what these times call for. And to your point, like a lot more people are doing this right now than we realize. So it's like cultural norm, even like how I was raised was to like never talk about politics or religion or sex, all these things. And that's how that got so taboo. It's because they got so off the mark because no one's talking about them at the dinner table, right?
Absolutely. There's a reason we're not supposed to talk about that.
Yeah. Like, it's like, oh, well, if we don't talk about it, then people can just kind of continue, you know, doing what they need to manipulate these systems of power. And we're just like,
I love the way this conversation
has- Me too. I love it. I'm here for it. Us, like, again, us, the like blonde good girls being like, wait, but like, we're, because exactly, I think you and I have the energy, people approach us and might think that we believe or act a certain way. And I'm like, no.
No, thank you. Is it hard for a Virgo to put up those boundaries or push back? It feels a little against my nature. Like, I will do it.
It is.
Do it. But I got to say, it hurts. It's not comfortable.
It's not. It's truly, you know, again, when I talk about leaving the comfort zone for the cosmic zone, yes, sometimes it's, wow, putting yourself out there for this amazing spotlight, fun moment, like me promoting this book. I'm like, ooh, this is such a fun cosmic zone, comfort zone leaving moment. But sometimes leaving my comfort zone for the cosmic zone is just telling someone no. Like, I'm going to have to just put up a boundary right now. And I, you know, I've gotten better at it, but it's still challenging. And to me, you know, I think as Virgos, we're the maidens. We want to help. We're the healers. We literally like are the sign of the maiden who has the wheat that she's harvested and she just wants to give. So Virgo, it's a mutable earth sign. They want to give. It's like, why would we do what we do? It feels good for me to give. It feels good for me to take care of other people. But, you know, what I talk about in this book is every zodiac sign, every key has the things that make them amazing. But then there's just things where we have to kind of pull it back in because every one of our strengths can become our self-sabotage like mechanism also. So it's like, oh, I love to give. I love to make me feel better. And like for me, I wouldn't even care how I was feeling as long as everyone around me was comfortable. And that just, you know, got me in some places that where I was depleted or some weirder situations and scenarios. And I think that one of the best things I've learned as a Virgo is that one of the best things you really can do for someone else is actually set the boundary. Mm. Whether it's just being clear. So in a silly example, if I'm saying yes to helping my friend move or saying yes to something that I'm not really fully behind because I know I have a big day, it's going to be a stretch for me to do that or I'm not feeling well. And I say yes, but I kind of show up and my energy is funky and I'm being a little passive aggressive or I'm late or I flake last minute. That's not actually kind to that person, right? And I want my people who I love to know that like my yeses are my real true like heck yeses. And on like a, you know, a bigger scale, like I talk about in my book, I think my first big moment of departure from the good girl energy was I called off my wedding 2 weeks before I was going to get married. And I had this moment of like, oh my God, I don't think I'm ready. I don't think this didn't feel right to me for a long time. But as it got closer, my intuition was sort of starting to crank up. My soul, my body was like shutting down. And I was like, oh, but I don't want to upset him. And I was like, wait, hold on. Like, actually, I think having this boundary with myself.
Just a small one.
Just a small thing. Like, you know, your partner forever and the whole trajectory of your future life.
Children and grandchildren and their children.
Just the seven generations to come from this moment in time. I'm like, maybe if I just set this boundary I'm doing it for me, but also maybe for him. Like, I actually had this vision of like, I literally had a vision of a bride running down the aisle to this man because he wasn't a bad man. He was a good man. Just wasn't like for me, we were not the deep soul match. And I remember thinking he deserves by me saying no, actually, and being clear is going to feel better for me. And it's going to allow him to find what I hope is going to be a bride who's going to like run down the aisle, like race, like just celebratory energy. So I'm also like, you know, making space for him to be in his truth and his potential partner one day. And I, again, have had to practice this on big and small levels. And sometimes it's just someone, a business associate of mine, asking for help. They want me to do something for them. And I'm just like, I can't, right? And they have to figure it out on their own. But then they figure it out on their own versus me like doing it for them over and over again, unpaid labor of some kind of sorts. So it's a lesson I've had to learn over and over again of like actually setting a boundary is just a win-win-win. And you could do it with, you know, my mom raised me to be very polite. So I could still, I don't have to be an asshole about it, but like, you know, just set a boundary with grace and compassion. And my one friend taught me that just keep it short and sweet. Like,
We don't have to over-explain.
Exactly. The over-explaining, I think, is where I end up talking myself back into the thing that I...
giving more entries in. Well, if you can't do that, maybe you can do this.
Yeah, you know? Just a polite decline. The other thing that my friend Colin, he's also an astrologer from Long Island, just so witty and so delightful and so smart. And he taught me another thing. And I think he got it from Brené Brown, which is more of like a personal interaction. If something makes you uncomfortable and you have to set a boundary, he taught me MODWA, M-O-D-W-A, moment of discomfort. And then walk away. So back to that, you know, if someone says something that makes you uncomfortable and you just say like, oh, do you agree with that? No. Or, you know, someone, I don't know, if someone's out and someone's being creepy to you or something and you just say, I don't like, they're like, no, that's a no for me. And then you could sit in that moment of discomfort, like, okay, that's a little uncomfortable. And then you can just walk away. Like, it's okay just to sit in that moment of discomfort. And him teaching me that helped me again, because I think people who are empathic and intuitive, like we feel someone else's discomfort. And like me, I race to like,
yeah,
to like fill it in or smooth it over. Right. And sometimes it's okay just to be in that discomfort.
And over empathizing with their situation over and above your own.
Right. Like all of a sudden the two, us, you know, and them, it's like all of a sudden their emotions and their needs and their comfort like supersedes our own.
I'm going to tie back into this basically backing out of a wedding in a very uncomfortable way. I read in one of your little bios, are you married now?
I'm married now. Yes, yes, yes.
Or like your finance husband who maybe didn't put all this astrology stuff kind of came around.
Yeah.
About that, I found that very interesting.
Yeah, he's, first of all, like every day, I'm like, I'm so happy I chose myself and then was able to find him because he has surpassed every dream I could ever have in a partner, as a, you know, a husband, a collaborator, a co-conspirator, now, you know, a parent with me. And he, but you know, on paper, it's like these two, I am this like hippie-ish, you know, my astrology slinging, card toting. Again, I'm also kind of now entering my other like IDGAF era where I just talk about everything, sex, politics, everything taboo. And he is this like very mild mannered, even keeled, highly like, he's a highly marketable person. When you look at him, like, you're just, yeah, everyone loves you. Like, you're just a great, you go into any office, any workplace and be like, this guy, he's a good guy. He works in finance. He played football at an Ivy League school. He's just very like, you know, normal. Like just a very, and then I'm this like, you know, witchy, like chaotic force. But he is very analytical, very like he is, you know, really. And we have had a lot of moments where we were connected into the heart and on a deep spiritual level, which is how I was able to fall in love with him, which is something I was a little bit lacking in that first engagement. And so we had that soul connection. And when I started getting more into my spiritual work, or as he called it at the time, my cosmic side hustle, because I just started devouring, you know, all these books about spirituality, numerology, astrology, tarot, past lives, Akashic records, and went to shaman school. And he would just be like, okay. And his thing was always like, anything that makes you the best version of you, I am here for. I co-sign on. I'm fully supportive of. But I could tell sometimes he'd be like, what? What does he call it? He called it like, instead of Reiki, he would call it something like reggae. He'd be like, you're reggae you're doing? I'm like, cute, but like you go tell he's sort of not really getting it. But down, you know, he knew my moon water was out, or I'd have like, you know, a little
Crystal.
crystal grid up, and he'd be like, "Baby, do you?" He always asked, like, "Is this a pickle jar? Just a pickle jar, or is this full of your like moon? Is this something important?" So always down, very curious. But it wasn't until I think astrology. When he started to hear me and my friend Colin talk about, we were talking about the astrology of certain historical moments and talk about this language, and even Colin, who didn't really know him, was just reading his chart and not in a judgment. He was just reading him like, oh, you're like this. So this must be like, this family must be important for you. And this must be something you're really good at. Is that a struggle for you? And my husband's mind was blown. And all of a sudden he started, you know, digging a little deeper into astrology, and he's so cute. He's like, I love all the thing you do, the spiritual work you do. It's so beautiful. He always goes, he's like, but astrology is just like science. I'm like, yeah. He's like, it's just a study of like patterns and cycles and phases with the most, you know, we're all about data, big data these days. Like no one has more data than astrology, because you're going back to like, you know, Babylonian times of tracking certain things in the sky. Those patterns, you know, correlate with human activity. So he's like, this is super fascinating. And then of course, like he got to see some proof in the pudding where he'd be looking for a job and I'd be like, okay, no, 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 no. Okay, yes, apply to this at this time, or, oh, you're going to have a big transit in this part of your chart. And just again, after a few years, he's like, oh yeah, this really works. He still doesn't like, you know, his ability to talk about it. It's like a being a bilingual speaker where he's like, I can hear you and I understand everything. Cool. I nod along. But his speaking of it, he'll be like, where's my Mercury? My Mercury's in my, what, in the house? In the, what he said the other day, he's like, IHOP International House of, where's my house of this? And I'm like, oh my God, you're so cute. So he is such a good example for me of, you know, I talk to a lot of people on my clients and people who are single, and they'll say like, oh, like, you know, this guy made fun of me for being into that and this. And I'm like, listen, I don't need a partner to be well-versed in metaphysics or esoteric wisdom or, but like at the very least, if it's important to you, they should respect it and be open and curious, right? And then, you know, maybe if they're smart enough, treat you well and wife you up, and now you have a free, you know, cosmic consultant at your beck and call for everything. and your life is like exponentially better. So,
oh, Maddie, while you're talking, I'm just having this vision, you know, speaking of the cosmic zone, I believe that we can reach into the future and plant. We're pulling back into the present, but the space-time continuum, actually, it doesn't even exist, right? So you're probably going to
speak in my language.
But what I'm pulling into this space-time continuum is that there'll be some leader with a lot of empathy, with a lot of kindness, with a lot of for the people energy, as you're saying, that they will emerge. And you can be the astrologer for them. So go back to Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
Astrologers.
Yes. Yes.
So let's have you be the astrologer to this new leader that's going to emerge, or maybe it's already here and we don't know who they are yet.
I would love that. From your mouth to the goddess's ears. And yes, let me just align with that timeline, because it would be an honor again to feel them, you know, help empower them, encourage them, but also keep them honest, keep them a little humble. Like, for the name of the highest good, I don't mind, you know, doing some gentle, tough love, mama energy. But absolutely, I do think that what you're seeing, what you're feeling is actually very much part of the astrology, is that the leaders who are stepping forward right now are going to be way more compassionate, empathetic, and way more in tune with spiritual consciousness. They have to be. It's part of the path. It's there. And so we're really moving from this head-centered society, a very individualistic society, to a way more like heart-centered and like way more compassionate. And obviously these metaphysical and esoteric arts and these tools and practices help us like crack more into that and understand it more than ourselves and others, because I don't know how else to describe it. And right now everything feels really awful, and it's 2025, 2026 are very pivotal years in our evolution. So they're going to be intense, but We're going to come out of them and we're going to start moving into a place of progress. And truly, to almost be successful and to land in this next chapter, you have to be in the place of being empathetic and heart-centered. So I think that like that vision that you have is exactly the vision that I'm holding. Maybe not me working with them, but hopefully. And so I just encourage, there's something really cool about, I think, collective intention and thought. So I'm like, if everyone listening to this podcast even just took a minute and closed their eyes and pictured those kind of leaders who are in that space of being like, truly, I'm here to serve and truly, I want what's best for the most people and to unify us, right? And to remember that like certain things are just basic human rights and that like, I'm here for the people, not here for, you know, the profits of corporations or power of people behind closed doors. I think it's so cool. And it's part of what I like to call like the, also the joyful reimagining. Like, I think it's so easy to focus on what's going poorly, but what you just gave me was another like shade and nuance to like the vision that I want to hold for like exciting things that we're calling in right now.
Absolutely. Well, I want to bring up, as we come to a close here, I want to bring up a picture of your book, because like you said, it's like this cotton candy, the light pinks and blues and greens and yellows, and it looks so light, full of light, lightness. And as you said, like, this is a serious time for us to come together to understand what our life purpose is, to be cultivating it, to get in line with our values, because big things are coming and there is. And I think your book is going to help us kind of get off our little pity pot and to say, okay, what am I going to do? What am I here for? What's my gift? How do I need to get over my obstacles to make the next world emerge?
Absolutely. Amen. So perfectly said. So perfectly said, Amy.
Well, thank you for being with us, Maddie. We appreciate you. It was a pleasure to get to know you a little bit.
Oh, likewise. This was amazing. Thank you so much for having me on.
Hello, everybody. I just want to say thank you to Maddie. Thank you for giving me hope. You know, many days I wake up a little bit despondent, hopeless, just wondering how it can keep getting worse and worse when you think you've hit rock bottom. And then the next day you wake up and you're like, oh my gosh, that was not rock bottom. This idea of, we have 8 years of Pluto, which is going to be all about power to the people. And we must progress through this difficult time together. I know 8 years seems like a long time, everybody, but we can do a lot of work in 8 years. We have to. We don't have a choice. So let's get on board. Let's talk about power to the people. We got this. We have astrology supporting us. And we're hoping to raise new leaders. It will be a grassroots effort. It will be people like you and me that come forward and say, no more. We don't want to see this. We don't want to have this in our society. We want to have more humanity. We want to have more heart, more empathy, more caretaking. And it's going to be a grassroots effort. So don't give up because you don't have some powerful leadership position. Everything you do as a human being is going to help the people who are willing to step up into those leadership positions. We can bolster them. Gosh, I have a few notes here. I'm just looking down. I love this Madhwa. Moment of discomfort. Walk away. Just say what's real. Be real. Say when it's not going to work for you. Say when someone's acting inappropriate. When someone assumes that you believe with them, believe what they believe. Just take that moment of discomfort. Say no, thank you. I don't agree with you. I don't like that. I don't want to hear that. I'm not going to participate in that. I'm going to protect that. And then walk away. You don't owe an explanation of why you believe what you believe. You can just do it. You can be it. You can be that benevolent force in the world. You can be the person who protects others. You don't have to be loud, but you do have to be strong. So feel free to do Madhwa. And, one of the last things that Maddie told me after we got off the live call, we had a little more time to talk. And, she said, the leaders who are going to be of service to the people, not to the corporations, not to the financial people, not to the tech people, the leaders of the people in Arkansas, the people in Minnesota, the people in Nebraska, those leaders are emerging now. It's going to be a little while, but they are coming. They are already in progress. It's like that seed that's been planted underneath the earth, and it grows a little bit by a little bit. So be watching out for that. Be ready to support that and be ready to take your time and energy to move that forward. We have some time here that we're going to have to put in the footwork, knock on doors, talk to our neighbors, have hard conversations. All of it matters. We have the time to do it, and we need to do it. So be on the lookout, support our leaders as they're emerging, so that when we get to that moment in time, which according to Maddie is, I'm so sorry to say, about 8 years from now, the tides will shift dramatically. Not that we won't have some big wins between now and then, but like the flip, the real big thing that changes to shift humanity onto a different track, it might be a little while. So don't do nothing until then. Assume things are rolling along and that we all have a part in it. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening today, and we will talk very soon. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you to our listeners at the Yoga Therapy Hour for listening each week and also sending emails of thanks and gratitude and letting us know how the Yoga Therapy Hour has changed your life. Every time we receive one of those, we think, okay, we're going to keep going. This is hard work, but we got this. We're making a difference in the world in our own unique way. So thank you again for listening. We are so grateful for all of you, our listeners.
Thank you for listening to the Yoga Therapy Hour. We wish you a wonderful week. We hope that somehow, in a small way, we've contributed to your well-being so that you can go out and share that well-being with others. That's what life is all about, bringing in the goodness through you and then shining it out to the world. We need you more than ever. So let's all get out there, do good, be good, and have a great week.